High up in the Sierra Mountains, there is a peaceful little lake where transpired one of the greatest tragedies our nation has ever seen. The lake is called Donner, D-O-N-N-E-R, Donner Lake. It is so named because there was a party of people called the Donner Party taking a tour to the West Coast from the state of Illinois many years ago. On their tour, these very elite and fashionable people became stranded in a snowstorm in the Sierra Mountains, right near what is called a beautiful little lake, what is now called the Donner Lake. One of the most amazing things happened that I've ever read of in all of my life. This party was stranded so long until all their food was eaten. They had no food left, and there they starved to death together. No one could find them. It is said that these elite, cultured, refined people got so hungry, they began to eat each other. And there they would share the carcass of a friend, because they were possessed with such an insatiable hunger, they had to have something to eat. They would die if they didn't eat. And this hunger was so insatiable that they ate each other. This is not unique in the annals of history. They say that pilots on the Pacific, stranded maybe on a Pacific island somewhere, had been known to wait for each other to die, so one who outlived the other could eat the other. In the Andersonville prison, numbers of years ago, there were two very close friends in that prison. They shared the same cell. A terrible famine came, and when that famine came, many of the prisoners died. These bosom buddies, these friends of many years, very close friends, lay beside each other, too weak to get up and walk, each waiting for the other to die, so he could eat his best friend. There is no appetite known to man, unless it is thirsting, that is so great as hunger. So the psalmist said, or Job said, "Oh, that God would grant to me the thing that I vehemently hunger for." Like a thirsty man on a desert, like a hungry man in a famine. He said, there's something I long for. I vehemently hunger for something. Oh, that God would grant to me that for which I vehemently hunger. You know, man spiritually is like man physically. You ever get hungry for something? Especially as it's true in the life of a child. You get hungry for something? You want something down here? You've got to have something. You're hungry. So what do? You eat a piece of candy. It tastes good, but does not satisfy your hunger. Then what do? You try a little child will want ice cream or cookies. It tastes good, but still does not satisfy the hunger. The hunger is still there. The thing for which you hungered has not yet been eaten. And so the child may try some other little delicacy or some little knick-knack or snack or something, and yet the hunger is still there. And man is like that spiritually. Man by nature hungers for God. The wise man said, God hath put eternity in our hearts. The sad and tragic thing is this, that when we hunger for God, we do not realize that He is the thing for which we hunger. And so we seek pleasure. It's fun, but doesn't satisfy. We seek money. It's fun, but doesn't satisfy. We seek power. It's fun, but doesn't satisfy. And like the child starving for something good to stick to his ribs and eating candy and ice cream, failing to quench or to satisfy his hunger, so man or mankind runs hungering, longing for something. He longs for God. He longs for something eternal. He longs for fellowship with his Creator. But he tries everything in the world to satisfy that longing that can only be satisfied when he makes it right with his God. Last night, a youth went to a bawdy house and paid a few dollars for an evening of lust with a prostitute. He did not know it, but he was seeking for God and trying to fill that void that's left with the absence of God's presence with something else. Last night, a man stumbled into a tavern, sat at the bar or sat at a table, drank his liquor, thought he was having fun. He had some fun, a few thrills, a bit of excitement, but that man, as he walked out of that tavern, was still as hungry as he was when he walked in that tavern. For that man was looking for something. He was searching for God. He was looking for that something to fill the empty place in his heart. He did not find it, just as no one has ever found such a satisfaction in the world. Last night, a young woman, somewhere in this town, several young women, gave their bodies to the hands of wicked and lustful men for a few dollars to buy a few delicacies with. And those women found a little money because they gave their bodies in prostitution. They found some money. They may have even, in a case or two, found a thrill or two. But they did not find that for which their soul hungered. Their soul was hungering, or the psalmist says, longing for something, or vehemently hungering for something. When the evening was over and they went to their rest last night or woke up this morning, they find the hunger is still there they had last night at sunset. It did not fill the hungry place. Last night a couple got a needle with a trembling hand and a trembling arm, administered the needle, the narcotics, into a vein. They did not know it, but they were looking for God. They did not know it, but they wanted a trip that only God can give. They did not realize it, but that thing for which they were hungering was God. They didn't know it. They thought they were hungering for fun or excitement or thrill or a trip. But when that trip was worn off and when they feel, as they always do, the let-down feeling, they found that they were not satisfied. Not long ago, all across this nation, young people turn on their rock music, and there's nothing any sorrier out of hell than rock music. Nothing. They turn on their rock music with their sensuous beat and words that parents ought to check on, words that teach messages of dope and rebellion and anarchy and indecency and lust. And they're searching. And for a while, they twist their body into all kinds of gyrations and trying to some little foolish kind of a stupid dance. Why? They're looking for God and don't know it. That's why. The drunkard is searching for God and finds that in his drunkenness he does not have the answer. The whoremonger is searching for God and finds that in his lust he doesn't have the answer. The narcotic is searching for God and finds in his lust he does not have the answer. The tavern keeper searches, and the one who frequents the tavern and drinks the liquor is searching for God. I'm talking to someone this morning who's tried everything in this world. Why don't you stop and realize that what you really are hungering for is that you never thought about, and that is a fellowship with God Almighty, the creator of your soul. My soul longeth, said the psalmist. That longing is just as natural as it is for a baby to search for the breast of his mother. Every person this morning who sits behind the desk as a big multimillionaire executive has a hunger for God. Every football player who this afternoon will run across the gridiron, blocking and tackling and making touchdowns and kicking field goals, every one of them has a hunger for God. Every Hollywood movie star has a hunger for God. Every millionaire has a hunger for God. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's something that beats on the inside of every living person that says, I've got to have something I don't have. I need something else. He finds when he gets what he thought he needed, it was not what he thought he needed. And I'm saying to every boy and girl, man and woman in this room this morning, that thing that causes you to try something else, and then something else, and then something else, and then something else, has beaten in the breast of every one of God's human creatures since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. And that hunger is a hunger for God. Three times the psalmist said these words. I call your attention to the first one, and I'll read it to you. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. The psalmist said in the first place, my soul longeth for God. My soul vehemently hungers for God. And there are some this morning in this room who've never been saved. Your name is not written in heaven. You do not know that if you died today, you would go to heaven. You do not know that if Jesus came this morning, you would rise to meet Him in the air. You don't know it. You may not know this either, but you're hungry for God. Your soul longeth for God. The lady crawling up today the sacred stairs in Rome, stopping on every stair and making a cross and asking and trying to pay penance, she doesn't know it, but she's hungering for God. The mother at the Nile River this morning taking a little baby and offering that baby to the crocodile, to the Nile River, as a sacrifice to appease a wrathful God, doesn't know it, but she's hungry for salvation in Jesus Christ. I was thinking last night about this. Look at the world, how it changes. Look at the songs of the world. Say, when you were a kid, what did you sing? I sometimes laugh at the stupid words of the kids' songs. When I was a kid, we sang songs that had decent words, intelligent words that meant something, like Hutsut Rawl, son on the riddle rye, and a brawler, sue it. Hutsut Rawl, son on the riddle rye, and a brawler, sue it. Intelligent songs like that. Or, down in the meadow, in a itsy bitsy poo, fam, feed little fishes, and the mama fishy too. Fim said to mama fishy, fim if you can, and if fam and if fam all over the dam. And, pardon the expression, the last word. But, we sang decent songs in our day. Have you ever noticed how the songs sing? Or go, for a while, it's jazz. You get tired of jazz. Then what is it? It's soft rock. You get tired of that after a while. Then what is it? It's hard rock. But have you ever noticed this? We at First Baptist Church are singing the same songs we sang 25 years ago. You know why? They satisfy. That's why. They satisfy. We haven't changed our music. We sing the same thing. Why? We don't have to change. You see, the fellow says, well, I like it, that kind of music. You'll like it until you get tired of it, and you'll go to some other kind of music. Boy, but you never, the person who has Jesus Christ in his heart, who's been redeemed by faith in Christ, who's been born again, he always likes Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He never tires of what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. He never grows weary. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. He never gets tired of singing on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At Calvary, and far away the noise of strife upon the world is beating in Beulahland. We never get tired of those songs. Why? I'll tell you why. Because you will only find that thing that stops your search when you let Christ come into your heart and you become a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ. Same thing is true about the fads. Take clothes, for example. Take clothes. Have you noticed how the world, the rich people, folks can afford what they want, how they wear all different kinds. They wear this style for a while, and this style for a while. But bless God, Brother Fisk has on the same suit he had on 15 years ago. Searching. This music, that music, this music, that music, this style, that style, this fun, that fun, this thrill, that thrill. Narcotics today, liquor tomorrow, heavier dope the next day, taverns the next day. Demon worship the next day. Why? Searching. May I tell you once again the story that I've told you that so graphically pictures what I'm talking about? I was preaching along this line one Saturday evening in Hazel Park, Michigan, a rather large auditorium. The windows were open. The air conditioner was broken. The windows were open. Big expressway went right by the church, and you could hear the noise of the cars and trucks and the people outside the window of the church. I was preaching that Saturday night, and all of a sudden I was overcome with how many people are searching for something and they've not found it. They're searching for God and don't know it. And I said to the people all out there in the world tonight, they're stumbling in the nightclubs looking for God and not being satisfied. They're stumbling, looking for something, trying to find something to satisfy the void left in their soul because broken fellowship has taken place between them and God. But I said, thank God, we found it. By the way, I don't mean to be unkind. But you know what? People come to this civic center for every kind of an event under heaven. And much of it is simply, unknowingly, they're searching for what is here this morning in this room. They don't know it. Try a circus today. Try a movie tomorrow. Try a nightclub the next day. Try some marijuana the next day. Try some liquor the next day. Go to a tavern the next night. And I said that, and then suddenly I was overcome with I never had done this before. I was overcome with a desire to go out and holler out the window that we found what they're looking for. I ran over to the window and started hollering, "We found it! We found it! We found it! We found it! We found what you're looking for!" Went back to the pulpit and finished the sermon. After the service was over, an hour or so later, I went out to get in the car to go to the airport and fly back to Chicago, O'Hare Field. As I got in the car, a fellow walked up and said, "Dr. Hiles, this fellow wants to see you." I said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "You the fellow that hollered out the window a while ago, you'd found it, you'd found it, you'd found it." And I said, "Yes, I am." This old man was trembling. Shoulders were stooped. You could see sin written all over his face, and the quest for peace never having been found was written all over his face. And he said, "Mister, you just kept hollering, 'We found it, we found it, I found it.' What did you find?" I said, "I found Jesus Christ." I told him how to be saved, and there we knelt outside the church. That old man found what he'd been looking for all of his life. I'm talking this morning to some teenager. you've swallowed the filthy advertisement and the lies of Satan, and you've sought everything in the world. I'll tell you, you'll not find the thing that's empty in here till you find that which was there in the first place. God made you to fellowship with Himself, and in the Garden of Eden, God was in here. But man by nature is a sinner, and man chose to sin, and that fellowship with God left. And now there's a place for God in here, only for God, reserved for God. Put liquor there and you'll still be unhappy. Put whoremongering there, you'll still be unhappy. Put narcotics there, you'll still be unhappy. Put pleasure there, you'll still be unhappy. Put fame there, you'll still be unhappy. Put money there, you'll still be unhappy. Why? This spot is reserved for God. That's why. Until you come to God through Jesus Christ, you never will find the quest or the end of your search and find your hunger satisfied. David said, "My soul longeth for God." There's a second thing that David longed for. I'll read it to you as found in Psalm 84, verse 2. "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." The second thing, David said first, "My soul longeth. A vehement hunger is in my soul for God." But now, wait a minute. He's found God now. Once you've found God, your longings do not end. David has a second longing. He longed for the courts of God. What's that? The house of God. House of God. David said, in fact, he said one time, the same psalm, he said, "I envy the sparrows that get to live all the time at the church house. My soul longeth." You know, this morning, I had to have a little bit of a cry. I went to our church early this morning, and it looks dreary, and everything looks so lonesome. And I went over and took a peek in the auditorium. And I realized for the first time in 10 and a half years, a Sunday morning had come, and we didn't meet at that very spot. You know what it was? My soul was longing for the courts of the Lord. Oh, when a person is saved, people say, "I don't like to go to church." Get saved and you'll like to go to church. "I just don't like those long invitations." What you need is to get born again. You'll love them. I don't want to stay till 12:30. We won't today, unless you don't say amen very much. I might just stay and have a preach-a-thon this morning. But you say, I don't like to go back to church on Sunday night. What you need is a good old dose of being born again. That's what you need. David said, "My soul longed for God." When I got God, he said, "I still long for something." What is it, David? "I long for the courts of God. I long for the people of God. I long for the songs of God." The other day I was on an airplane, drinking, cursing, people flirting with the hostesses, all kinds of sensuous talk, and men reading the dirty, sexy Playboy magazines and so forth. And I heard a noise. It sounded familiar. I listened carefully. There was a voice in the back of the plane singing, "What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on thee." I stood up. Like a dog about to tree a coon. I listened more carefully. Leaning, leaning. safe and secure from. And I found out where it was coming. I went back to the back of the plane. A young man was back there. He wasn't dressed like I wish he should have been. And his hair was longer than I think it ought to have been. But he was singing, "What a fellowship, what a joy to find." You never heard a prettier duet in your life than we hosted. And, you know, folks, you think, weren't you embarrassed? No, every stinking drinker on that plane was embarrassed. That's what we just stood up and sang it together. Why? My soul longeth for the songs of God. My soul longeth for the message of God. My soul longeth for the people of God. Let me tell you something. If you are right with God, you will long tonight to get back in this place. You will long Wednesday night to go out to our college. Why? My soul longeth for the courts of God. David said, I long for God. I got him, but I still had a longing. I long for the courts of God. It was just a little frame building. The Fernwood Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. It was not a pretty building. It was a white wood frame building. But it was my church. And as a boy, my mother and I used to walk a mile to church. Mattered not what the weather was. We walked a mile there and a mile back every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every time we had a special service. We walked a mile down to the church and a mile back. And I always felt good. I'm going to church. I'm going to church. I'm going to church. It was a brick building right across the street from me where I grew up, was called to preach and was licensed and ordained to preach. Please take the child out immediately, please. Immediately take the child out. We have a lot of folks who want to hear, and we need the folks to hear. They need to hear the message. So whoever has the child, take it out right this minute. Right now. Good. So, but it was church for me. It was church for me. It was only a little building out in the country called the Morris Chapel Baptist Church with 19 members when I became a pastor for the first time. One wall leaned one way, one wall leaned the other way, an old-fashioned rusty bell out in the front where you'd ring the bell. It was not a pretty building. 19 people came. Usually on had 19 members. Anywhere from 7 to 19 came, and I'd preach on Sunday morning. I say that my congregation usually wasn't any bigger than this front row of people right here. I made $7.50 a week. We had one lady who could play the piano. She could play only one song well. That was the Old Rugged Cross. Everything we sang, we sang to the beat of the Old Rugged Cross. Had one deacon. He wore overalls to church. Only had one telephone in the entire neighborhood, and the fellow who owned it was deaf and couldn't hear it ring. It wasn't much, but it was my church. Our Sunday school classes consisted of two curtains drawn down in the middle of the church building where we'd have four classes divided only by curtains. Just a country church where a bunch of poor people came, but it was where I went to church. My soul longeth for the courts of my God. It was only a small church building, a frame building out the edge of Marshall, Texas, called the Grange Hall Baptist Church, but I was its pastor, stayed there for over 3 years. It wasn't very much. But it was church to me, and my soul longeth for the house of God. I don't know about you, but I suspect some people this morning drove by the church building just to feel like it was Sunday this morning. I did. My soul longeth for the courts of God. This is a civic center where in a few weeks, other monkeys will be up here on the platform at the circus. And other elephants will be parading around the place. And it's a civic center where basketball games are played and where people sometimes do things that we do not believe in doing. But this morning, in October 6, 1974, it's the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and my soul longs to come back tonight. Why? It's God's house. That's why. David said, my soul longeth for the courts of my God. The third thing for which David longed after he got right with his God, his soul longed for God till he found God. And after he found God, his soul longed for the house of God. Then he got to the house of God. But after he got to the house of God, David said something else. He said, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry with goodness. And David goes on to say, my soul, but in fact in verse 20 of Psalm 119 says, my soul hungers for thy judgments. My soul longeth for thy judgments. What's the judgment? The word of God. David said, I longed for God till I found him. I longed for the house of God till I found it. And now I long for the word of God. I feel sorry for you people who don't read your Bible during the week. I'm worried about you. Brother, we read a dirty magazine, then read the Word of God. Brother, watch television, then read the Word of God. I'm worried about that kind of thing. The person who is born again longs in his soul, hungers with a vehement hunger for this book. For this book. My soul longeth for the book. The other day I was on an airplane flying from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to O'Hare Field in Chicago. I was sitting in an aisle seat. You folks who fly can picture it. Aisle seat. Two empty seats beside me. I don't like to sit next to the window because I have more room at the aisle to work. And I was sitting in an aisle seat. Empty seat here, empty seat here. Right in front of me was a man. Empty seat here. And over here next to the window was another man. I had my little dictaphone machine. It's about this size and about, I guess, 3/4 of an inch thick. I can put it in this pocket right here. I dictate letters on it. So I was dictating this little thing. It had its own microphone right in it, and I was dictating a letter. And a fella against the window, in the seat next to the window up here, he looked around. He said, are you dictating letters? I said, yes, I am. He said, what kind of a dictaphone machine is that? I said, it's an Orelco. He said, I thought that was a shaver. Well, I said, it's a little shaver. And I have a dictaphone machine, but said, I can't dictate on it on an airplane. I said, why? Well, he said, it plays back. It just doesn't play back well, and my secretary cannot hear what I've said on an airplane. Well, he said, does that work okay on an airplane? I said, you better know it does. So he went back to work, and I went back to work, but I turned on the recorder. I wanted to show him that it would pick up well on an airplane. And I put it on the armrest between his seat and the fellow next to him. He didn't know it was on. Sort of a Watergate kind of a thing, you know. And after a few minutes, he started cursing. Oh, terrible talk. Well, I didn't know what I was going to record. In fact, I better get that tape and throw it away. But when Mrs. Boardway types that one, I want to see how she spells some of the words. But after a few minutes, I said, hey, neighbor, you wondered how this sounds on the airplane when you dictate on an airplane? I'll show you. He said, good. I said, I've been recording you. He said, wonderful. He'd forgotten what he'd said. And so I played it back, and it got down to one part, and he said something worse than dirty brick or rack of pack-a-lomer or dirty botch of splatter rip, you know. And he said, whoo! Did I say that? I said, that's not me. He said, boy, whoo! If I had known I was being recorded, I sure wouldn't have talked like that. I said, you're being recorded all the time. He said, what do you mean? And I said, God's got his tape recorder on all the time. And I said, one of these days he's going to play it back. Tear moistened in his cheek, on his eye, and rolled down his cheek. I said, you're hungry, aren't you? He said, what do you mean? I said, you've got a hunger for God. And that businessman literally broke down and began to cry. And I took the Bible out and told him the old story of the Roman road. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. When in scenes of glory I sing the new song, it'll just be the old story that I've loved so long. He bowed his head and came to Christ on the airplane, all because of a little tape recorder. What am I saying? I'm saying he was hungry for God. If somebody walked down the aisle and seen that businessman with a beautiful diamond ring on obviously a man of wealth and stature and importance, nobody would have thought that man was hungry for God. But there is a hunger in everybody's breast for God Almighty. And he was hungering for God. Hungering for God. There's a great cathedral in Milan, Italy. It has three arches side by side. On each arch there is an inscription. On one arch it says, all that which pleases is but for a moment. On the second arch it says, all that which troubles is but for a moment. On the third arch it says, that only is important which is eternal. All that pleases, it is but for a moment. Live your life in pleasure, it's gone after a while. Live your life for money, it's gone after a while. Live your life for popularity. It's gone after a while. Live your life for fame. You may end up exiled like ex-President Nixon. It's gone. Say, ask Babe Ruth today how important baseball is. Say, ask President Nixon today how important and how enduring and satisfying power and popularity is. Elected by the biggest majority, perhaps, of any president in our history in less than 2 years. Most unpopular president in the history of our nation. Ask him how long fame lasts. Ask Marilyn Monroe today how important physical beauty is. But you ask the little soul winner who's turned many to righteousness, who shines this morning as the stars in heaven forever and ever, what the important thing in life is. Listen to me, and I'll be through. Listen. Listen, children. Listen, teenagers. Listen, adults. Listen, man. Listen, woman. Listen. Whatever enjoyment you get because of what goes through this mouth, through these eyes, or what stimulation you get to this body, lasts but for a moment. But there beats in your breast a never dying eternal soul that someday must die in the pits and burn in the torments of hell, or walk gold in the streets and fellowship with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. I think maybe it's not too bad for you to worry a great deal, a little bit, about the coming famine which is on its way. Maybe we ought to worry about it some. It'll cause us some inconvenience for a few years. Maybe we ought to worry a bit about the gasoline crisis, and maybe we ought to be concerned about that for a while. But at best, it'll be gone in a few years. But that never-dying eternal soul that beats in your breast this morning will live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. When baseball fields have grown up in weeds, your soul will still be living. When football fields and stadiums have crumbled and decayed, you'll still be living. When people come and look at the Rose Bowl as we look at the Colosseum in Rome today, you'll still be living. When all the money that you have in your pocket or in the bank account has faded away and all the gold is gone and America's crumbled, you'll still be living somewhere. Where? 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 In heaven or hell? In heaven or hell. There was an Indian tribe years ago near the Amazon who would stop on a journey about once each hour and sit still on the ground. Silently, with their heads bowed and eyes closed, they would sit still. You know why? Because they believe the body travels faster than the soul. And once an hour, they stop to let the soul catch up with the body. Don't you think it's time you did that? Don't you think in your busy, mad life of making money, it's time to stop and let the soul catch up with the body? Don't you think in your pleasure, mad life, it's time for you to stop and let the soul catch up with the body? My soul vehemently hungers for God, David said. Now that I have God in my heart, David said, my soul vehemently hungers for the house of God. And now that I'm in the house of God, David said, my soul vehemently hungers for the Word of God. Job, you can't have it. You can't have it. Oh, that you might have that which your soul longeth for. If you just knew, Job, what your soul really longs for is Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's it. That's it. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? No one will leave and no one will move for a few moments. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, there was a day when my soul longed for God, but thank God I trusted Jesus and I'm born again. If I died this morning, I would go to heaven. I know it, preacher. It's all settled. I know it. I don't deserve it, maybe, but I know I'm going to heaven. I'm born again. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He's mine. I'm saved and I know it. If I died this morning, or if suddenly a gas escape were to be caused in this building, or in this building to be blown up, and all of us plunged out into eternity, I'd go to heaven. I know it. I know it. I'd go to heaven if I died, and I know it. I know, I know, I know, I know. Raise your hand, would you please? Keep your hands up. You can put them down. I wonder now, with heads bowed and only the Sunday school teachers looking, no one else. I wonder, with heads bowed, how many of you would say this morning, maybe you're an adult, man or woman, teenager, boy or girl, you'd say, Brother Hiles, I do not know that I'm going to heaven. I do not know that I've been saved. I do not know that my name is written in the book of life. But I wish I did know it. I want to be saved. God knows I do. I want to be a Christian. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. My soul longeth for God. Pray for me. I do not know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Brother Hiles, pray for me. First, on the main floor, would you lift your hand if you don't know that you're going to heaven, but you wish you did? Raise your hand and say, pray. By raising your hand, you'll say, pray for me on the main floor. Just raise it way up high, and I'll pray for you. Way up high. Yes, God bless you. Who else? Way up high. You don't know that you're going to heaven, but you wish you did. On the main floor. Who else? Just lift your hand way high and say, include me in the prayer. Who else? All right, the balcony up here on my right, that's the primary two, high school one, junior two, and junior high one. If you don't know that you're going to heaven, but you wish you did know it, would you raise your hand for prayer, please? Way up high, raise it. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? Way up high, raise it. God bless you. Who else? You don't know that you're going to heaven, but you wish you did. Pray for me. Raise your hand, would you please? Lift it way up high. The balcony back in the rear, the junior three balcony and others back in the rear. If you don't know that you're going to heaven, but you wish you did know it, you'd say, pray for me. Raise your hand way up high, would you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The balcony on my left, the junior high two, the junior one, the high school two, and the primary one. If you don't know you're going to heaven, but you wish you did know it, would you lift your hand, please? Lift it way up high. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. Who else? God bless you. I see you. Yes. Who else? Who else? God bless you. Father, I pray for each of these. Many of them I could not see, but several I could see. Now I pray, dear Lord, the newness of the building to us will not keep us from doing what we ought to do. I pray that each of these shall say yes to God this morning. I pray it. Now our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing. When we do stand to sing, here's what I want you to do. I want you, if you're on the main floor, to come to the nearest aisle and down to the front. I'll meet you here at the front, and you can receive Jesus this morning. Some of you who've been saved ought to come and ask for baptism. You come this morning. Some of you ought to come, and you've been saved, but you've never yet walked an aisle in a church to make it public. You come this morning. Then those of you that don't know you're going to heaven, I want you to leave your seat. If you're in the balcony, I want you to leave your seat and go to the nearest exit and down the stairs and inside this building, down to the main floor. And walk down to the front. Let me know that you're receiving Christ as your Savior. Won't you do it? If you need to join the church by transfer, if you need to get baptized, if you need to profess your faith and receive Jesus and know you're going to heaven, I want you to come. I'll ask that no one leave the service, please. But I want you to come and say yes to God. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Doesn't your soul long today for something? I found it. I found it. I found it. It's Jesus. That's what you're longing for and don't know it. Come and trust Him. Come and trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Won't you come? Won't you come? Father, bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts just like you would and have these many times back in the home church. In Jesus' name, amen.